Hey guys, welcome back to Bloodshed and Bagels, where we sit down and talk about true crime cases while enjoying our morning bagel. I'm your host, Heather, and I don't want to bore you with nonsense, so let's get right to it. This week, we are going to talk about the mysterious case of the Yuba County Five. These were five men that all went missing in the middle of the night after a basketball game. The five men in this case are William Lee Sterling, 29, Jackie Charles Hewitt, 24, Theodore Earl Ware, 32, Jack Anton Madruga, 30, and Gary Dale Mathias, 25. These are the ages that they were at the time of their disappearance. This all started February 24th, 1978, when the five men left a basketball game around 10 p.m. at the California State University in Chico, California. They were driving a turquoise and white 1969 Mercury Montego. They were fans of the winning team that night and were celebrating. They stopped at Bayer's Market just up the street, bought one Hostess cherry pie, one lemon pie, a Snickers bar, a Marathon bar, two Pepsis, and a quart and a half of milk. The following morning, their families became worried as they started calling each other and found that no one had seen the men since the day before. All five still lived at home, and I would like to note that three of the five were diagnosed with mental health conditions. While Madruga was undiagnosed, his mother did say that he had some learning difficulties, and Mathias was being treated for schizophrenia and psychotic depression that had only developed about 5 years earlier and had not resurfaced for the last 2 years. They were supposed to play a basketball tournament the following day, February 25th, so the men were very excited for this game and their families knew they wouldn't miss it. Something had to be wrong. On February 28th, investigators found the Mercury the men had been driving. It was 70 miles from Chico on a deserted mountain road. This road was extremely rough, and it looked like the car had spun the tires, so maybe it had gotten stuck in the snow. But even if it had gotten stuck, the five should have had no problem pushing it out. It had a quarter of a tank of gas. And even though the keys weren't found with the car, the police were able to start it, and it seemed like there were no engine problems. There was absolutely no reason that the police could find for the five to have left the car. All of the food except for the Marathon bar had been eaten from their market stop. One thing the police did note was the car was heavy, and with all five men in it, it would have been weighed down more. So with how rough the road was, the bottom of the car had no damage or marks that they'd hit any of the bumps in the road. So either the driver was very careful or knew the road well enough to not hit the bumps in the middle of the night on a dark road. Madruga's family said he never let anyone else drive the car. He also hated camping and the cold. He would not have been out on that road. So it's very unlikely that he would have known it. In fact, all the families said that. It was very unlikely any of the five would know that road. Bill Sterling had gone fishing with his father in a cabin near there about 8 years earlier, but that was the only time he had gone. Ware had gone deer hunting with friends about 3 years before the disappearance, but it was far west of the location of the car. So Matthias was the only one that really enjoyed being out and about. The others were pretty much homebodies. So he would have been the only one that could have possibly known the road, but his family still thought it very doubtful. A storm dropped about 9 inches of snow in the upper mountains the day the car was found. The search teams nearly lost men as they had such a hard time getting through the snowdrifts. During the searches, no one found anything. All spring, there were many leads called in that went nowhere. The five were claimed to have been seen in Ontario all the way down to Tampa, Florida. They were supposedly seen in a movie theater with an older gentleman. A psychic was even consulted that said they were kidnapped and taken to Arizona and Nevada. A second psychic said they were murdered in Oroville in a 2-story red house with a gravel driveway. And that the house number was 4723 or 4753. So for 2 days, Detective Ayers drove all the streets of Oroville looking for that house. And it just didn't exist. There was one tip that came in from a man named Joseph Shones. He told the police that he had driven his Volkswagen Bug up that same road that Madruga's car had been found on, sometime after 5:30 p.m. the same evening the five disappeared. He was checking the snow line because he planned to bring his wife and daughter up that weekend. His car actually got stuck about 50 yards from where the Mercury would later be found. As Joseph was trying to free his car, he had a heart attack. And that was actually confirmed by a doctor later. Joseph told the investigators he laid in his car with the engine running and the heater on. Sometime in the night, he heard whistling, so he got out of his car. He said he saw what appeared to be a group of men and a woman with a baby walking in the glare of headlights. He thought he heard them talking, so he yelled for help. But the headlights went out, the talking stopped. So Joseph climbed back into his car and laid down. He said sometime later, a few hours maybe, he saw flashlights outside his car window. He again called for help, and the lights went out. He never heard anything more after that. He told investigators he laid in the car until it ran out of gas, and then he walked 8 miles back to Mountain House Lodge, where he stopped for a drink before continuing up the road. Just below where he had seen the lights and heard the talking, he actually passed the Mercury sitting empty in the middle of the road. June 4th, a small group of motorcyclists went to a deserted Forest Service trailer camp, and at the end of the road, they reported a smell that made them nauseous. They had actually found the body of Ted Ware, stretched out on a bed inside a 60-foot trailer, wrapped tightly in 8 different sheets. His head was even wrapped up, and he was frozen to death. On the table beside the bed laid his nickel ring with Ted engraved, his gold necklace, his wallet with cash still inside, and a gold watch that none of the families recognized as belonging to any of the five, and a half-burnt candle. His leather shoes were removed and actually never found. His family said he only removed his jewelry and wallet when he was about to go to bed. Ware had been 5'11", 200 pounds when he went missing. The day they found him, he was half that. His feet were badly frostbitten, and the growth of his beard on his face showed that he lived approximately 8 to 13 weeks. An autopsy later revealed he died of a combination of starvation and hypothermia. The trailer he was found inside was 19.4 miles from the car. He had only been wearing a striped velour shirt, lightweight green pants, and his leather shoes that were now missing. There was a broken window in the trailer, and authorities believed that that's how he gained access. No fire had ever been started, even though there were matches, books, and plenty of wood furniture that would have easily burnt. There were only a dozen or so sea ration cans of food opened from a storage shed outside and eaten. But there was a locker in the same shed that had enough dehydrated food to feed all five for at least a year, and no one had touched that. There was also another shed that contained a propane tank for gas and heat to the trailer. No one had touched that shed either. Weyer's family did describe his lack of common sense, as he would often question why he needed to stop at a stop sign. And one night, he even had to be dragged out of bed while his bedroom ceiling was burning, since he was worried about missing work the following day if he left his bed. So he may have just not thought to check the locker or the other shed. The day after Weyer's body was found, searchers found remains of Madruga and Sterling. They were on opposite sides of the road and 11.4 miles away from the car. Madruga had been partially eaten by animals and dragged about 10 feet to a stream. Sterling was found in a wooded area, scattered over about 50 feet. There was nothing left of him but bones. 2 days later, just off the same road but much closer to the trailer, Jackie Hewitt's father found his son's spine. There were a few other bones laying around, and Jackie's Levi's, as well as a ripped sole to his shoe. And an assistant sheriff found a skull the following day, about 100 yards from the other bones. Hewitt was later identified by dental records. The remains of Sterling, Madruga, and Hewitt all laid northeast of the trailer. But northwest of the trailer, they found 3 Forest Service blankets and a flashlight by the side of the road. The investigators had no way of telling where they came from or how long they'd been there. They never found any sign of Gary Mathias except his tennis shoes that were found inside the forest trailer, which suggested to the investigators he may have changed shoes with Weyer. But there's no proof of this, though. There have been so many leads over the investigation, but nothing ever panned out. This is such a bizarre case. So my thoughts about when the police found the car, maybe it was someone dumping the car and the five were no longer in it. That's just a thought. But since there was no damage to the undercarriage and it seemed they missed every bump in the road, it just seems more likely that the car was lighter and maybe had fewer passengers. Now, the lead from Joseph Shones, while the heart attack was proven, some of his story just seems strange to me. He walked 8 miles to a lodge after a heart attack, stopped for a drink, but didn't ask anyone to call an ambulance or help him in any other way. He just kept walking. I don't know, that just doesn't seem right to me. It seems strange. It's hard to not get caught up in all the conspiracy theories, but I think for whatever reason they got out of the car that night and walked toward the trailer. I don't know how or why they left a perfectly running vehicle and went farther away from help if they needed it. I mean, they would have passed the same lodge that Joseph stopped at on his way back. They could have easily walked 8 miles that way versus 20 miles the other way. I think Ware and Mathis are the only two that made it to the trailer. The other three maybe were attacked by an animal or succumbed to the weather. Maybe they were just trying to stay warm and didn't think to check the other shed or the locker for the rest of the food. And I would say Matthias may have traded shoes with Ware and went to go look for help. He was just never found. The leather shoes would protect his feet better than his tennis shoes. But those are just some of my thoughts. A case like this is so hard because anything could have happened and we may never know. Let me know your thoughts on this case at Bloodshed and Bagels on Instagram or Bloodshed Bagels on Twitter. Don't forget to check us out next week where we will be talking about another case. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate and review. Follow us on Instagram at Bloodshed and Bagels for more information on cases. Email us at bloodshedandbagels@gmail.com to submit cases you would like us to cover. See you guys later. Bye.